You're listening to Hebrews Jesus is Better series, preached by Pastor Rick Dressler at Maple City Baptist Church in Chatham, Ontario. For more information about Maple City, please visit us online at maplecitybaptistchurch.com.
Hebrews 13 this morning. I take an opportunity whenever I can to sort of use technology for my own spiritual growth. I think it's a wonderful thing. And just this week, I had the opportunity just to put on, not a podcast, but the scripture, and just to go through several epistles, you know, starting at Philippians, working your way through as far as we would go. And I was struck by this thought that as Paul and John and Peter and James are writing, they are writing to men and women who are slaves, poor, illiterate. They're writing to the rich and to the noble. And in light of that, their letters are packed with deep and rich theology. And it's amazing as you consider the audience that these men are writing, that the Spirit of God inspires them to talk much about doctrine and to make much of Christ. And there's a reason for that. Because all of these writers understand that the power to live and the power to do and the power to obey is all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we come to the book of Hebrews, and if you've noticed, the book of Hebrews, again, is written to a small group of believers who are struggling, who are anxious, who are weary, who are worn, who are troubled, who are thinking about turning back, some certainly rich, some noble, many poor or illiterate or slaves, but they've gathered together. And through the book of Hebrews, you see the exact same thing, that over and over again, this pastor with his heart is again reminding all of these people that Jesus Christ is better. He's better than all of it. And so we've been working our way through. A couple weeks ago, we came to the end of chapter 12. At the end of chapter 12, the writer is still encouraging to continue, to draw near, to persevere. And he makes this statement that our God is a consuming fire. And the idea is that you and I need to see our God in reverence and awe as the God that He is. This God is a consuming fire. Whether you believe it or not, it is the truth. He is consuming. Regardless, He will consume the dross, and the gold He will refine. And as you and I gather this morning, and we think about the God we serve, and His awe, and His beauty, and His reverence, as we look at what He's done, and who He is, we see a God who takes great pleasure and actually loves to forgive His enemies. Who does that? Our God. We see a God who saves sinners and opens the eyes of those who are spiritually blind. In a moment, He gives life. We see a God who has restored the prodigal. And we look around and we know from our own stories, we have seen this God bring prodigals home. We have seen Him reclaim the backslider. We have seen Him release those who were in captive to Satan. We have seen Him work and heal the brokenhearted. We have watched Him and Him alone cheer the despondent and to strip away from the self-righteous their pride and their arrogance in a moment. And this is the God who builds the lives of all of His people, from the least to the greatest. And in light of this truth, the writer of Hebrews is saying once again to this group of folks who are thinking, is it worth it? Do I continue? Do I go on? Do I persevere? Or do I turn back? He says, by this consuming God, persevere. See His glory. See His awe. See who He is. And in light of this, we come to chapter 13. And He now begins to tell us who are consumed by this consuming fire, who are in awe of who He is and what He has done. He says, love one another. If there was ever a time at least in our hemisphere, where believers ought to love one another, it is now. I really believe this. I think that we now are in a time that is close to what the first century church went through. Marginalized group, hated by the world, small, insignificant in their eyes, and people from every background coming into this new movement, the rich, the poor, the slave, the educated, uneducated, all together. And the Bible's command from the first day, actually prior to the first day, this was Jesus in John 13, love one another. Just love one another. It doesn't matter who they are or where they're from. If we have the same Father, we're in the same family, and we love one another. Why? Because He is love. This consuming God is a God of love. Love one another. Then He tells us to remember the prisoner and those who were mistreated, either by men or their circumstances. Do you know anyone this morning who's been mistreated by men or circumstances? Maybe one. And why do we remember, and why do we act, and why do we move? Because this God, who is the consuming fire, is kind and gracious, and He does move. He then tells us to strive for holy living, to be separate from the world, to love righteousness. Why in the world would He tell us to live holy lives? Because this consuming fire, this God, is holy Himself. And this is His plan for His people. He then tells us not to be sidetracked by the temporal, the things that we see, the stuff, the greed, the covetousness, the materialism that is all around us, that it seems like we all strive for. Don't do that. Why? Why not be sucked into the temporal? Because He is eternal. He's eternal. And then He says, do not be intimidated by a hateful world. And how does He say this? Why does He say this? Because this God has overcome. Overcome. And as He worked His way through the first few verses of that chapter 13, He comes to the end and says, for this reason, we can all say together, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear. And by the way, that might be a good thing. This is kind of crazy. We don't have that verse on here. But the statement is, in from your Bible, the Lord is our helper, we will not fear. Can we try to do this together? Do you think you can do that? The Lord is our helper, we will not fear. Ready? The Lord is our helper, we will not fear. This is our God. And this is His plan. And so now in verse number 7, He will give us some further considerations for the body of Christ. Look with me, if you would now, at Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, right? Your leadership, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or life. So now He's speaking to the body, those of us who know this God, who have witnessed His consuming power. He burns away the dross of our life. He refines the gold. He says, in light of this now, remember your leaders. And it's a specific kind. It's your leader, your overseers. It's the person that were responsible for this church that the author is writing to. They were the ones to guide and to direct and to rule and lead. And the fact is that is the nature of the church. The church has structure, and God has given it to us. There are elders, there are deacons, and it's to help the church grow and function in a way. And the fact is, it actually is organized religion. God is organized. He says, remember your leaders. It's their leaders. And not just their leaders, but the ones who gave them the word of God. It seems from this text that these leaders were instrumental in the foundation of that church. That they were the ones that started it. They were the ones that proclaimed the gospel, and people in that community came to Christ. They saw the glory of Jesus. They repented. They turned. And these men, these leaders, gave them life. And it also seems that as they proclaimed the word, they lived the word, and now they have passed off the scene. And the writer tells us it's a good practice to remember your leaders. I wonder this morning, how many folks here, you were saved, you were born again, by sitting in a service and hearing a pastor preach. Can I see your hands? That's how you came to Christ. Just hold them up for a second. Okay, interesting. Okay, put your hands down. How many folks came to Christ because someone, a friend, told them? Can I see your hands? Good. How many folks came to Christ from reading the Word on their own? A few. Awesome. Awesome. All right. That's very helpful to me. I came to Christ because a pastor stood behind a pulpit and preached the gospel. In 1958, Roy Thompson graduated from Akron, and he came to Cleveland with him and his family. And they got to Cleveland, Ohio, and they started a church in his living room, 1958. And he started to preach. And they went from a living room to a theater, and from a theater to a church, and to a church today that's still active and alive and leading people to Christ. And I think back as a young man sitting in the service and hearing a man open up the Word of God and put it on a pulpit and just preach the gospel. I mean, the gospel. And he had fire. He was loud, at times probably obnoxious. I can't even relate to that. And but he preached the Word, and he preached Christ. And it wasn't his opinion. It wasn't his ideas. He just proclaimed the gospel. And what happened was, as he lifted up Jesus Christ, men and women came to Jesus and got saved. I listened to the sermons, and I got saved. It changed my life. They were preaching the Word of Christ. It was Jesus and Christ alone. And when Jesus is preached, lives are saved and transformed. And he says, remember those leaders. If you're here this morning and you were saved under the leadership of a man who stood behind a pulpit, you should remember them and you should give glory to God that you had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed to you. And for others, if a friend told you, chances are a pastor told them. Someone told them. So remember your leaders. But there's something else. Not just these specific leaders who preach the word, but then he says, to remember, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. To look at their conduct over the course of their entire life. These were men at this church who, they weren't a flash in the pan. They just show up and then disappear. Their entire life was devoted to preaching the Word of God. And the sum total of their lives, they verified the gospel message that they proclaimed. This church was exposed to leaders in their past who were now gone, that they stood behind, probably not a pulpit, they opened the Word, they proclaimed Christ, and their lives matched the gospel they were preaching. It could well be said of them what is said by Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He says, let your conversation, or your manner of life, be as becomes the gospel of Christ. Literally, let your life as a believer be worthy of citizenship. It's interesting because Paul is writing to Philippi, a church in Philippi. They were a Roman colony. They took great pride in the fact that they were Roman citizens. And as Roman citizens, there was an expectation upon their lives on how they were supposed to live worthy of their citizenship. And these men in Hebrews preached the word, and not only did it come from their lips, but their lives showed that they were worthy of their citizenship in heaven. They would have heard that by Paul. They would also know what he said to Titus in Titus 2:10. He says at the end of that verse, that you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That in their life, this gospel was preached and this gospel was adorned. When people looked at their lives, they made the gospel of Jesus Christ look attractive. And here's the truth. The gospel will do one of two things. It will either repel people who are not interested, that's what it does, or it will draw people. One thing that the gospel does not do is nothing. It does something. And these men lived a life as they proclaimed the gospel and the word. As you looked at their life, they're off the scene, but you watched a life that was faithful, in line with their faith, in line with the word of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says to this small church. Remember them, think about them, thank God for them, and then you must do the same. He says, whose faith follow. Imitate their faith. This is how all of life works. This is how we all grow up. And not just some of the spiritual world, but this is how life starts. You have a child, you have a baby, and they know nothing. They are skulls of mush. And so you have them, and this, you do the strangest things. You eat the food. And you make a fool of yourself, and you start saying small words like say mama, mama, mama. And the first word that kid says is dada. And mom's like, oh! Right? What are they doing? They're imitating. And they learn to speak. And they learn to walk. And they learn to live life. Why? Because they follow examples. It's interesting that Melissa's here and Pam's here. They were with us when we were in Bridgeport some 20 plus years, 30 years ago or so. She was just 3 years old when she was there. And so, but I would take our boys on calls with me where we'd make visits. And so I would take each one of them in the car so we could be together and they could watch my life. And it was a time to just be with them. And I remember clearly one day taking AJ, who was probably about 8 years old at the time. And he's sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm there, and we're having a good time. And I had an apple in my hand, and I just threw the apple out the window. No big deal, because back then, apples were biodegradable, and it wasn't illegal to throw them out the window, I think. I'm not sure about that, but that's what I did. And so I threw it out the window. We're having a conversation. We made a visit, got back in the car. As we start driving down the street, I have police officers shaking their head. It is illegal, isn't it? Don't throw apples out the window. Don't do that. No, don't. Or it's not illegal. It isn't. You can throw biodegradable things out the window? Awesome. All right. Awesome. That's awesome. You'll see a whole line of apple cores and pears and banana peels. I did not know that. I have been enlightened this way. This has changed my life. So I did the legal thing. I was being a good example and throwing that. We wanted to feed the squirrels and take care of the animals. Jump back in the car and we're driving. And I see AJ take this bag of garbage and toss it out the window. It's like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? And I'm looking around for officers, and because I did the biodegradable thing, he did the garbage thing. I said, AJ, what are you doing? And AJ said, you threw stuff out the window. But that's biodegradable, son. Don't you understand that he was following a pattern? Believer in Christ, we are to follow the pattern of the men and women who have gone before us, to imitate their faith. It's a sad state that we have many people who start this race and don't finish. They become derailed. But we do have people in our lives who started the race and finished well. And those are the people we look to say, I want to live like them. Why? Because they could say, follow me as I followed Christ. Think with me. The men and women who impacted your life were men and women who talked about Jesus. They just talked about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. When people talk about Jesus, wherever they go, in whatever situation, things do change. And sometimes they change and it becomes very uncomfortable. But sometimes it changes because life is being spoken and people accept and receive those things. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen again to Paul, Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen, we have lots of platforms. We have lots of opportunities. Follow the faith of those who have gone before us and just proclaim the gospel. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. He was not ashamed of you. To die publicly, naked, and in front of the eyes of all, preach Jesus, and then follow their faith in practicing living out your faith. These men who had gone before for these believers proclaimed the gospel, and they lived out their faith. The world is tired of hearing Christians talk and not seeing them live out their faith. And for many of us, we undo with our lives what we said with our lips. We talk a good talk, but our walk doesn't even look like our talk. We must imitate those men and women who looked at Christ and were worthy, watch worthy of their citizenship. Live out your faith. And it's not too hard in our world today. It isn't. Small differences of honesty, compassion, integrity, love, and selflessness. Imitate faithful people and then seek to follow them and become one who others follow. Every believer in this room should be working and striving for a position in their life where they say, not in arrogance or pride, but follow me as I follow Christ. And when I quit following Christ, push me to the side and keep on following Christ. And so he says, remember your leaders, imitate their faith, look at their life. They started well, they finished well. And would to God this morning, all of us would start well and continue well and finish well. We fall, we stumble, get up and finish the race. Verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. This is probably one of the most familiar verses in all of Hebrews. I was thinking about this the other day, and for me, I think it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 or so. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Most of us know that. Or Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But this verse, don't we all know Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is one of the most well-known verses or phrases in Hebrews. And it powerfully displays the deity of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews has been telling us over and over again that Christ is better, Christ is God incarnate in the flesh, and here he connects Jesus Christ with the eternality of God. What he is saying is that Jesus Christ is immutable. He is the God who is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change in his being. He doesn't change in his perfections, his purposes, or his promises. It's a beautiful verse. But the truth of the matter is, it almost seems like it just got dumped there. Follow your leaders, they preach the word, see their end result, and now he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for the longest time I thought, is he just trying to stick something in there? Is he trying to put something against the wall that we pick up? It seems like it's out of place. But the fact of the matter is, it's not out of place. It is the perfect bridge for these believers between verse number 7 and what follows in verse number 9. Think with me this morning. In verse number 7, these leaders who were faithful, who spoke the word, who lived their life in front of them, who were faithful to the end, they're gone. They're gone. When my pastor, Roy Thompson, passed away, Kim and I went to the funeral, his funeral. As we walked to the front and we were there and greeting his family, which we had grown up with, Ruthie said to me, what are we going to do now? Because he's gone. He was that big of a player in all of our lives. And here's a church whose leaders now are off the scene. And not only are they off the scene, but the church is in the midst of trouble. They're struggling. They're thinking, is it worth it? Should we continue? And the fact is, in light of what he just said about following these leaders who are now gone, it makes perfect sense that the next statement would be, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Jesus that they followed is still the same. Here's what Gordon Fee says. He is still the eternal Son, the incarnate God. He was still the one who is obedient to the Father, now seated at the right hand, who has full authority to cleanse his people from sin and to bring them into the presence of God. He's the same for these people who've watched leaders go before them and now pass. Jesus Christ is the same. He is pointing them to who he is. I want to read for you this morning the song that we sang, that we opened with. The words are unbelievable because they talk about this Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to what the words of the song that we sang this morning. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. Nothing else to give. Heaven was drained when he left. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but Christ in me. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying to a church of people who are discouraged, who are troubled, who are wearied, who've watched their leaders leave the scene and leave the picture, he says, listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he was adequate for them and their need and their power and their strength and their troubles and finishing the race, he will be adequate for you as well. Men and women go, they leave, whether by walking away or through death. Politics and movements cease. Circumstances and perspectives may change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is who we look to. So verse 7, you've lost these men. They're gone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's adequate. Verse number 9 says this. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar thereof that have no right, that they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So here's verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse number 9 is talking about strange teachings and false doctrines. Things that don't jive. And actually, they were looking to distract these believers or telling them they could go back to an easier life. Maybe an alternative way of life. And still, Jesus Christ is the same. He never needs to be replaced. Nothing can be added to his perfect work. He is the Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So verse 7, people have gone off the scene. Christ is the same. Verse 9 through 11, false teachings and doctrines promise the world, but Jesus Christ is the same. There is no need for an alternate lifestyle. We have truth this morning. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We have him. And no matter what the world promises, it will all pass away. And so Hebrews 8 falls right in the middle for these people. And I think what it reminds us of when Jesus started losing disciples, he started preaching about his body and blood and flesh. They start walking away, and he says to Peter in John chapter 6, are you also going to leave? And Peter says, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, no matter what's happening in our life from the past, what's happening from the present, what we face, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can we can rest and live in that. And then finally, this morning, jump down to verse number 14. He says this. He says, For we have no continuing or lasting city, but we seek for one to come. And what the author is doing now is reminding us that our destination gives strength for the journey. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And the destination that we're headed to gives us strength for the journey we're on now. About 4 years ago now, we were expecting the birth of our first granddaughter. And people had said to us, just wait till you're a grandparent. It's the greatest thing in the world. And we're like, yeah, right. You know, that we have kids, we sort of like them, and whatever. And then you have grandkids, it's like, our kids, what kids? We just want to see the grandkids, right? That's how it works. So we're all excited, and so we're waiting. The time was close, and so I don't know what night of the week it was, but it's like about 10 o'clock, and our phone rings. And AJ says, we're getting close. This is it. And we had our bags packed. We were ready. And he said, things are moving, but I don't think it's yet. Just leave in the morning, and you'll be able to see the birth of your first granddaughter. It was like, oh, yes, this is great. Are you sure you don't need to sound? No, it's okay. Go to sleep. It's fine. It's a 13-hour trip from here to there through the mountains of West Virginia and North Carolina. It's a terrible trip. It's a terrible trip. So, okay, we got to sleep. So now we're amped, right? And I have an issue with sleeping. If I can go days without getting a good night's sleep, so I have this special pill. And every now and then I take it, and it's like, lights out. And 5 weeks later, I wake up, and it's like, I'm refreshed. And so we're amped for this birth of this little granddaughter. And it's like, he said come tomorrow. We're not going to get any sleep. Kim, split a pill with me. Let's go. Let's just, night, we'll be ready for the drive. We put the pill in our mouth. Boom, out. 2 hours later, our phone rings. It's AJ and says, hey, the baby's coming. The baby's coming. And he sounds scared, right? Because this is the first one. Scared. It's like, okay, honey, what do you want us to do? Come. Just come. So it's like, okay, we jump in the car. And we just jump in the car. We had so much cruddy coffee and so many stale donuts and so many of these energy drinks, you know, just down them, that your stomach's upset. It was so disgusting. For 13 hours, we were doing whatever we could because we knew the destination was the birth of our first granddaughter. And so it took days to recover from that, but it was worth it because of the destination. We were going to see the birth of our first granddaughter. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, that the destination that we are on as believers will give us strength in our times of sorrow. These believers had lost loved ones. They lost mentors in their life. They were struggling. There was sorrow involved. And then there was this idea that, hey, we could turn back. This is hard. This is difficult. We can go back to our old life. They needed strength to finish the race. And the writer says, listen to me. If you want to finish this well, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, has given us an eternal kingdom, a city that will not pass away. And what we do as believers this morning is we look to that. We're looking, Tom prayed this morning and had no idea he would, at the rebirth, not of a grandchild, the birth of a grandchild, but the rebirth of creation. That this same Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will come and will establish a city where he will rule and reign, and every wrong will be righted. There will be justice, there will be peace, everything will be right, and the knowledge of God will fill the earth like the waters on the sea. Our destination gives strength for the journey. And so, my dear brother and sister in Christ, as we gather this morning, there are those of us who are weary, we're worn, we're anxious, there's uncertainty in our lives. There's the idea of, is it worth it? Do we continue? Do we go forward? And I would redirect you to the glories of our consuming God and who he is and what he has done. That this God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the saints of the past who have finished well, he was there for them. And the saints of the future who want to finish well, he is there for them. He doesn't change. And if we can get in our minds where we're headed, you can put up with a bunch of bad coffee and disgusting donuts that were into Taquitos. You can, it's okay, because I'm going someplace. And no matter what this journey throws at me, I can endure, because the end is a city that will not pass away. And so, my dear brother and sister, this morning, wherever you find yourself, take heart. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may we see him this morning as he truly is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your kindness this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth found in verse 8 on both sides, from verse 7 to 9. Lord, may we see and understand the glory of our Jesus. May we hold on to the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as he saved and sanctified and blessed and encouraged and led them home safely of the past, he will do the same for us. May we clearly see him and our destination. And so, Father, this morning, help your people to rest in that truth. Help them to cling to that truth. Lord, if we need forgiveness, help us to seek it, to repent, to get back where we need to be, to get up, to embrace, to encourage, to get back in the fight. For those who are weary and worn, help us to see Christ for who he is. And Lord, help us to live this week in light of that truth. And so, Lord, as we close this service, as we once again sing this hymn, I pray that we clearly see Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. Join me in standing, as you will, as we'll close, as we began this morning. And please, do this. Think of the words and think of what's being said as we sing this song to close our service this morning.